Well, football for me when I was a kid was a way out. And I'm not saying a way out of, the ghetto. I'm not saying a way out of trouble. It was a way out of personal misery. I mean, when you're born with a hole in the middle of your face and you don't know how to handle it, and everybody else is looking at you as you walk down the school hallways.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Neil. How about yourself?
I'm
I'm
doing
really looking forward to
fantastic.
speaking to our guest.
Absolutely. And I guess, he's played on many different professional football teams. He has a tremendous story, Blaze Winter. What, Blaze, thanks for stopping by, man. And you know what? I interviewed you maybe 7 years ago, wasn't it, Blaze?
Yes, it was. I'm really happy to be with you.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, your biggest highlights of your career in the NFL. Blaze, what would you say they were?
Well, laid on top of Joe Montana. I mean, it's always nice to hear a quarterback squeal, and to hear him lose breath as I laid on top of him. I really enjoyed that, actually.
Absolutely. Good,
That's
Greg.
crazy. Blaze, when did you get excited about being in the NFL when you were a kid?
Now, I know you guys, let me just say one thing. I know you guys don't believe that story, but when I was a Packer player and we returned to Lambeau after beating the 49ers and they were coming off of a world title the year before, and I'm sitting in my locker at Lambeau Field, and one of my teammates said, "Look," and he showed me a newspaper, and in that newspaper was when I sacked Joe Montana, and underneath, there was a caption about breaking two of his ribs. So, again, a lot of people don't believe when they first hear it because they believe that I'm trying to stretch the truth. But those are some of the fondest memories. Obviously, playing with Junior Seau was another amazing time in my life, and being a part of a Super Bowl with the Chargers, and there's so many. It's hard to just name one.
It makes complete sense, Blaze. What I want to go back to the question is, now that Super Bowl, was it a fond memory for you, even though it was you lost that Super Bowl?
Well, Ken, losing is the taste right afterwards is not what you want. Many days or weeks or months later, you realize that you did something with a group of guys that was rather special, and those are the memories you hold on to. I mean, you look at the AFC ring, even though we lost to the Niners, you look at it and you say to yourself, I mean, this is there's only a handful of men on this earth that have achieved that. So I was glad to be part of the journey. Bobby Ross was an amazing head coach, and the people I played with, Nachon Means, Stan Humphrey, Junior Seau, Leslie O'Neal, they're just amazing athletes all around you. So later on, after you sort of get over the initial we got whipped, you feel good about having a chance to be in the dance at the very end, and I'll always remember that in a fond way.
Go ahead, Greg. What question do you have for him?
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask my first question again, Blaze. When did you decide to get into football when you were a kid? And when did you know that you were going to be in the NFL?
Well, football for me when I was a kid was a way out. And I'm not saying a way out of, the ghetto. I'm not saying a way out of trouble. It was a way out of personal misery. I mean, when you're born with a hole in the middle of your face and you don't know how to handle it, and everybody else is looking at you as you walk down the school hallways in a rather strange way, and you can't really hold a conversation with them because you haven't learned how to speak until you go to get to high school level, your life is tough. And you magnify that as a young person, you turn it into a mountain. and you make it almost a life and death situation. And football was a way out for me. It was a way to capture what was in my mind. And what was in my mind is, hey, man, I belong out here, and nobody asked me to, you know, open my mouth. Nobody asked me to look pretty. Nobody asked me to sound like a movie star. I was able to put on a helmet with a lot of bars across my face, put that helmet on, strap it up, and I was like everybody else until the end of the game. I was better than anybody else. So for me, it was a neutralizer to those that were Hollywood in the hallways, for those that were, you know, GQ in the hallways. Yeah, I may never, you know, ended up with the girl that I wanted in high school, but I ended up with an amazing woman many years later that I've had by my side for, you know, 30 plus years. So, you know, football was a way out of the personal misery that I created in my life, because I wanted to look Hollywood. I wanted to sound like a movie star. I wanted to be something special when I walked down the hallways. But I realized that it wasn't what happened in the hallways, so it happened on the football field.
Yeah, and that's such an amazing story, Blaze. And you talked to me before, that story still is out there, right? You've had some conversations with people and stuff like that, and this has not disappeared, the amazing story that you had to overcome to be in the NFL.
Well, the Wahlberg family has a production team, and they've contacted me recently about trying to get this thing on the screen in the movies. I felt like, what? When they called me about 2 months ago, and I had a conversation with one of the people in the production team, I just was blown away with me. And they said, yeah, you're a true life Rocky story. And somehow they did their research and they found that you've gone through a lot. And, you know, I'd much rather have your listeners see me as I talk, but I'm really happy to be with you, and maybe one day people will realize that I'm a fighter. I'm not going to lay down for anybody. I'm not going to roll up and just wilt away and die. I'm going to make a name for myself because I choose to, and no matter if it's on a football field or writing a book or just being in front of a bunch of high school athletes. I'm going to have an impact on lives, and you know, the mission is what it is, and I've lived that mission for many, many years.
Well, that's amazing, Blaze. I love that story. It's very inspiring to hear. Do you ever get out to be able to talk to youth or other organizations to try to help other kids that might be dealing with maybe not as same circumstance, but other circumstances, to inspire and encourage them, bring them along in life?
The NFL opened that door for me. I really thought it was like, who's going to ask me to do, you know, share my story? And I was wrong. A lot of people asked me. As soon as my career was over and I had a book, there's a book out there called A Reason to Believe. The co-author wrote the Jack Tatum story. They called me an assassin. And Bill Kushner co-wrote the book, and I went out on a circuit, and people were amazed at, you know, hearing the story. And the NFL is the reason the doors open, and I've been in front of over 3,000 groups, and then I stopped counting because I thought it was funny that the helmet now was off. You know, the bars were covering my face. People were staring at me as they sat in these convention rooms wanting to know, what's your secret? And, you know, I had to expose myself in so many words. And I had to do the same thing with the book. I mean, people don't know the hardships I went through as a child besides the hole in my face, the domestic violence that I went through in my household. My father wasn't a nice man. He came over to this country on the bottom of a freighter. He was divided from 8 brothers and sisters. And why did he run to the U.S.? Because the Nazis were after my grandfather. And imagine what kind of person that was, my father. He wasn't, he wasn't real nice. He was very cautious, and he was very concerned about day-to-day life. So I had to share these things to the audiences that I would be in front of, no matter if it was a high school group, elementary, corporate America. But it started to avalanche. I mean, it rolled. I mean, I went on to have a 14 years of doing 125 talks a year. This is a kid that wasn't able to speak well enough to be understood in middle school.
Wow.
I mean, I was in speech therapy my junior year of high school trying to pronunciate apple the right way. And people know none of this. All they know is, oh, look at you, you're a great football player. So you have to open your mouth to the group and the helmet's not hiding your ugliness. It's really hard at first. And then you realize, almost like the high school pep rally, you realize, I got to say something. And you just let it go. And you learn to be fearless. You learn to be fearless. Neil, you know what I'm talking about. You learn to be fearless in your approach. And that's why you wanted me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Greg has a final question. He asks all the celebrities, Blaze. Go ahead, Greg.
All right, Blaze. You're an amazing guy. I've enjoyed this so much. And, you know, you really touched my heart with your life and your story. But let me ask this question. Blaze, what do you feel is the most important thing in life that you've ever learned?
To understand that can't do it alone. People have to start to build back to one another the understanding that they're important. They're important to the journey that you are in and on. You can't do this alone. My mother was there. My father, in his own bizarre way, was there. My coaches were there. At Syracuse University, there was a four-wheel drive. 3 other guys that were part of my success that also went on to the NFL. Amazing story for another day. But it's about people, and it's about understanding how to trust other people and judge other people. My mom always said this to me. My mom said to me, only judge another human being over a period of time where you have time to evaluate if they really are who they are. You'll know who to what. Use and have you get help from. And I say it because in this day and age, it's always about divide, reasons why we should push away the other person. And when I was on a Super Bowl football team or a high school football team or a college football team, I learned how important it was because I realized today more than ever before, I am nothing without other people.
Wow.
And those other people have to be on the same type of journey that I'm on, which is searching for excellence in all you do.
Wow.
I mean, it's always been about the fight. The last thing I'll say is I live by a creed, and that creed is F-I-W, fight I will. That is what I live by. That is what I'll die by. And I want other people in my life that are also F-I-W, fight I will. And when I have a team of people like that, we can do anything. And it doesn't have to be a white, black, yellow, or green. My mentor is Jose St. Victor. He's a black man my mom handed me off to in ninth grade. He's been a mentor to me my whole life. It has nothing to do with color. It has nothing to do with why we should divide. It has to focus on why we should come together and solve problems, not create more.
All right. Blaze, that was fantastic. We appreciate it. Where's the best place people can find information on you, Blaze?
My email, blaze@blazewinter.com. You can, there's phone numbers. I have a website out there. I love working with kids. I love working with coaches. And You and I have to, you know, continue this on another day.
All right. We appreciate it, Blaze. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Blaze. Be well.
All right. That was Celebrity Interviews Live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Take care.